Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on low end pressure, and specifically on how to build mid bass bounce for jungle and old school DnB vibes. This is not about making the biggest bass possible. It's about making the bass feel like it's reacting to the drums, like it's pushing back against the kick, answering the snare, and leaving just enough space for the break to breathe. That bounce is a huge part of why old school jungle and early DnB feel so alive. The basic idea here is simple, but the execution is where the magic lies. We're going to build a two-layer low-end system. One layer will be a clean, mono sub that stays disciplined and grounded. The other layer will be a mid-bass that has movement, attitude, and rhythmic pressure. The sub holds the floor. The mid-bass does the dancing. Set your project around 170 BPM if you want that classic jungle energy, or around 174 if you want a slightly sharper DnB push. Before you even touch the bass, build the drum relationship first. Get a break going, whether that's a chopped classic break or a modern drum layer that still feels break-based. Then reinforce it with kick and snare if needed. The important part is that the drums already suggest the pocket. The bass should respond to that pocket, not fight it. Also, keep your drum bus under control. Don't let the kick and snare already hog all the low end, because then the bass won't have anywhere to sit. You want some headroom, and you want the groove to clearly show where the bass can breathe. In DnB, that usually means the bass working around the snare backbeat and the gaps around it. If you want a bit of swing, Ableton's groove pool can help, but use it carefully. A little extracted break groove can add life. Too much shuffle, though, and the bass starts losing its frame. For this style, the bass needs to feel tight against something stable. Now let's build the sub. Create a MIDI track and load operator or wave eatable. Keep it simple. We're aiming for a sine or triangle based patch, something pure and controlled. If you're using operator, a sine wave is perfect. If you want a little extra body, triangle is fine too, as long as it stays clean. Make the sub fully mono. Use utility and set the width to 0%. Keep glide off unless you specifically want slides. If the sub needs a touch more audibility on smaller systems, a tiny amount of saturation can help, but don't go overboard. This layer is about foundation, not character. The next key detail is note length. In this style, shorter notes often hit harder than long, legato ones. Program the sub so it supports the rhythm without smearing into every gap. Let it hit with intention, then get out of the way. A short sub note in jungle can feel incredibly punchy, because the break itself is already doing so much rhythmic work. Now on a second MIDI track, build your mid-bass. This is where the bounce lives. Use wave-eatable, operator, or analog and design something with harmonic movement, but not a giant modern wash. You want enough upper content that the bass can be heard on smaller speakers, but not so much that it takes over the whole mix. Think of it like a warped, muted Reese, or a bass stab with attitude. A good starting point is a saw and square blend, or a rich wave-eatable with a little detune. Keep unison subtle. Two voices max is usually enough for this kind of pressure. Add a low-pass filter, maybe 12 or 24 dB, and give it a bit of resonance if needed. Then add saturator after the instrument, somewhere around 2 to 6 dB of drive, just enough to bring out the harmonics. Here's the important part. The mid-bass should not own the sub region. Use EQ8 and cut everything below roughly 80 to 120 Hz so the sub track can do its job cleanly. If the mid layer is too full in the low end, the whole mix will turn muddy fast. Now program the rhythm. Build a two-bar MIDI clip and make the bass phrase feel like a conversation with the drums. Don't just stack notes on the grid. Let the bass hit, pause, answer, and then leave room. A strong old-school approach is short stabs on the loft beats, plus a couple of longer notes that lean into the next bar. You can think of it like this. One short hit, a gap, a response, another gap. Then on the next bar, maybe a slightly denser phrase or a pickup into the turnaround. The magic here is in the space. The bass should feel like it's bouncing off the break, not sitting on top of it. Try placing a note just after the kick, then another note that answers the snare. Leave the downbeat open when possible. That gives the drums room to land cleanly, and it makes the bass feel more aggressive when it comes back in. Velocity matters too. Don't make every note identical. Let some hits be accents, some be lighter ghost responses. In Ableton Live 12, the MIDI editor makes it easy to shape that. A little variation goes a long way toward making the phrase feel performed instead of programmed. Now we get into the real low-end pressure movement. Automation. This is where the bass starts breathing with the drums. Use auto filter on the mid bass, and automate the cutoff so some notes open up more than others. A main note might sit around 200 to 400 Hz, while an accented note opens up to around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Then bring it back down for the response note. That creates a feeling of inhale and exhale. You can also automate saturation drive, wave editable position, resonance, or even the group gain if you want the whole phrase to lean forward, but don't automate everything at once. 1 to 3 movement points per phrase is usually enough. Too much automation kills the groove. A nice trick is to use the cutoff change almost like a verbal emphasis. Closed and dry for one hit, more open and angry for the next, then back into the pocket. That contrast is what makes the bounce feel musical. If you want even more tension, automate a tiny bit of resonance on select notes. Keep it subtle. Too much resonance in the low mids can get honky fast, and we want pressure, not nasal mess. Now tighten the envelopes. In DNB, the issue is often too much overlap, not too little bass. Set the amp envelope so the attack is very fast, decay is short to medium, sustain is low to medium, and release is short. If the bass has too much tail, it stops feeling percussive. You want each hit to be clear, controlled, and punchy. If you need extra control, use a compressor after the mid-bass, with gentle sidechain from the kick or snare. Keep it moderate. The goal is a subtle push-pull, not obvious pumping. A ratio around 2:1 to 4:1 usually works well, with a release time to the groove. At this point, your MIDI system should already feel pretty good. But here's where things get even more interesting. Resampling. Route the sub and mid-bass to a bass group, then resample that output to an audio track. This lets you capture the exact movement of the automation, saturation, and filtering as audio. That opens the door to more sample-like editing. Once the bass is on audio, you can chop tiny gaps before a snare hits, reverse a tail into a transition, duplicate a hit for a little callback moment, or create a one-bar turnaround with a chopped fragment. That sample-based approach is perfect for jungle, because so much of the genre's energy comes from that chopped, manipulated, performed feel. Now think about arrangement. A good DNB arrangement usually gives the listener a clear progression. Maybe the first 8 bars of the drop are relatively restrained. Then bars 9 to 16 introduce more filter movement, a pickup note, or a small resampled edit that keeps the bass from feeling static. For example, you might start with the bass slightly closed, then open it a bit more on every second phrase. Later, add a reverse fragment before a transition or swap the last 2 notes of the phrase so the answer changes. Tiny changes like that keep the loop alive. Old-school jungle often feels like the bass is chasing the break. Modern rollers may feel more hypnotic and locked in. You can steer the same technique in either direction just by changing how much movement and how many notes you use. Fewer notes and more automation can feel darker and more focused. More rhythmic variation can feel more classic and chopped. Now let's talk mix discipline, because this is where a lot of people lose the power. Keep the sub completely mono. Keep the mid-bass controlled in width. If needed, narrow it with utility so it sits safely in the center. High pass the mid-layer so it doesn't steal the sub-space. And always check the mix in mono. If the bass falls apart in mono, the stereo information is doing too much of the work. Also listen at different volume levels. In DNB, a bassline can sound huge in solo and still feel weak in hundtext. That usually means it lacks enough upper harmonic information to read properly against the drums. So don't rely on solo tone. Rely on rhythm, harmonics, and placement in the mix. If the kick and bass are fighting, don't automatically carve up the bass first. Sometimes a small kick transient tweak or slight pitch envelope change on the kick solves the issue more cleanly. Remember, this is a relationship. It's not just one sound winning and the other losing. Here are a few pro tips to push it further. Try a very small pitch drop on the first note of a phrase for extra tension. That can make the bass feel nastier without adding more notes. Try a ghost bounce layer by duplicating the mid-bass, high-passing it aggressively, distorting it lightly, and placing it only on a few syncopated hits. Keep it quiet. It should feel like extra motion, not a new lead. If you want the bass to speak better on small speakers, add controlled harmonics with soft clipping or a tiny bit of parallel distortion on a duplicate track. That preserves the body of the original while adding edge. And if you want a more old-school, sampled feel, resample a few bass hits and edit them like little one-shots. Reverse one, chop one hard, duplicate another. That kind of destructive editing can make the loop feel much more alive. Let's do a quick recap. The sub stays mono, clean, and disciplined. The mid-bass handles the bounce, the attitude, and the movement. The bass phrase should answer the drums, especially the snare and the gaps around the break. Automation on filter cutoff, drive, and tone creates motion without clutter. Short notes, tight envelopes, and smart resampling make the low end hit harder, and always check everything in mono so the pressure stays focused and club safe. If you want a quick practice challenge, build a 4-bar low-end phrase using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub limited to a few notes. Give the mid-bass just a couple of automation moves. Leave one intentional gap before a snare hit. Then make one destructive edit to the resampled audio. After that, check it in mono and compare it at low volume and near reference level. If it feels like the bass is speaking to the drums, you've got it. That's the low-end pressure approach. Not just more bass, but better bass movement, tighter rhythm, and that unmistakable jungle bounce.